Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Pre-Match.
Yeah.
Wonka and Nick weren't even looking at the new intro.
Nah, I saw the back end of it.
Sure. These guys are just like sleeping on the
Listen,
job, man.
Selo, you can't talk. Everybody, the reason we are late is because of the Man United fan. I don't know if he was looking at the transfer news there, trying to... hope and pray that something gets over the line in that midfield area.
Man. I don't know, Nick. This is the one time I'm actually going to defend Selo, because at least he was looking for that orange cap, and he's really brought the style to the show. He did it on Tuesday. Yeah, he's done it again Thursday. Selo, thank you. Thank you for putting in the effort, if you are 10 seconds late.
I'm trying, guys. Sorry for being late, guys. You know me and my eating schedule, guys. I sometimes miss it. If I don't... start eating by 7 o'clock, it can be a bit of a mess, which is sorry about that. 2 minutes late, but it won't happen again.
Yeah, please don't let that happen again. But anyway, as you can see, guys, we've got Wonga Ding in the house, we've got Nick Stothard, and we've got Selo Lolo Kale, you know, the usual suspects. And also, a special shout out to Nick today, because he's come on clean shaven for a reason. It is his 60th appearance, gentlemen.
Well done, man.
I'm probably close to sort of the age of Steve Bruce, so that's quite exciting. There's always a silver lining when it comes to me and supporting my team. Yeah.
No, but let's be honest, though. To get 60 caps on Goal Launch TV, that's a lot of discipline, that's hard work, and you got to show up to get that. And you are, what, officially the fourth member of the squad to do that, so congrats, Nick. We appreciate you. But moving along now.
Well done.
To all more important best, matters.
All the best to catching up on my caps, man.
What are you on?
I'm probably close to 80.
So hey, both Selo and Wonga are making their 78th appearance tonight. 78. Okay. So you got some catching up to do.
Don't worry, Nick. If I get an ACL injury, then you can catch up.
No, you know what I'll just do? I'll speak to the admin on the side here. We'll just create a show there for me, and then I'll catch up.
We've got that.
We must call it like Tyneside Rants or something.
Hey, something like that. Get the jobs on board.
We might as well do something like that. But on that note, though, Nick, I mean, we did mention we're going to kick off fresh legs coming next month, and we're going to touch on a lot of Varsity Cup football. So there's an opportunity there for Nick if you want to make up those caps.
Definitely. I'm going into a bubble, so I'm going to have a lot of time on my hands. You know, if we're not training or eating or playing our matches, you know, I'm going to be twiddling my thumbs. So there's an opportunity there, definitely.
Warren's saying your show can be called How to Stay Positive. Okay, gents, we're gonna move on. UEFA Men's Player of the Year. This is something Selo sent to the group, and this is something we need to discuss because the three candidates are. Who are the candidates, Selo?
The three nominees are Kevin De Bruyne, N'Golo Kante. And Jorginho.
So Jorginho's a random one.
For this one, it's for the best player in UEFA competitions. So UEFA competitions means the Euros / UEFA Champions League, and then / you can say Europa League as well.
So Arsenal players are not there; they won't be considered.
They can't qualify. and if you remember, last season's winner is Lewandowski. Bayern won the Champions League. The season before that, it was Van Dijk. Liverpool won the Champions League. The season before that, it was Modric. They won the Champions League, obviously, with Real Madrid. Yep. And the season before that, it was Cristiano Ronaldo. They won the Champions League.
So you're saying it's going to Chelsea players, what you're saying?
If it doesn't go to Chelsea player, we need to audit the results, guys.
Yeah.
But to be fair... Like, obviously,
sorry, Nick. Did you see Jason's comment here? Helping with video analysis in the bubble would be nice too.
That's why Jason's coming into the bubble. He needs to do some work. He needs to do some work.
And also, you got a cameraman for your show, Nick. We got Jason to count on there. Extended member of the squad. He knows that.
100%,
we know that.
100%. Yeah. We can do a little sequel of Life in the Bubble.
Life in the bubble.
Oh, there we go. That's a great name for the show.
But if I'm honest with you, Cello, you're right. It should go to a Champions League winner. But if you look at performance, just based on performance, you know, City were probably the best team overall throughout the competition. You know, Chelsea were up and down. However, you know, that like we, it's been proven, you know, you don't need to be the best team to win a competition or a tournament. So it could potentially go to a City player. You know, Gundogan had a season, a note last season. Obviously, De Bruyne is always there and thereabouts. But you said it was Kante, Jorginho
and De Bruyne.
And De Bruyne, yeah. Mm. So I wouldn't put it past them to give it to him. But yeah, if you look at the trend, it should go to a Chelsea player.
They're probably going to give it to Jorginho because of the Europa, because of the Champions League as well as the Euros. Sorry.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of. But I mean, looking at players like I don't know, like in Chelsea, I think there were. Like Mason Mount for me was a guy performed very well in the Champions League, but obviously he was also in the Euros as well.
If he scores a winner in the final against Italy, maybe he's in that mix. Yeah. Maybe
because I think Kante won the man of the match in the final and the two semi-final against Real Madrid. So I think Kante won three consecutive man of the matches. Pums will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's what happened with Kante, which obviously people were making a noise about Kante after the Champions League final and saying if France do well, he should be Ballon d'Or. They were making all these big claims and stuff like that, but I don't know.
Yeah, because I see the only reason Jorginho is there is that it's because... I wonder, like, I also feel like he's a random one. Okay, not that random, but because he's in the Champions League. But even if it got to the final, he's won the final. And I think that's the only reason he's probably there. I can't see in terms of playing, you know, who was the better player.
I think Kante's the better player, guys.
I think so as well.
If we're going based on player merit, I think Kante is, in terms of what he adds to the side, without him, I think Chelsea aren't the same team without him. That's first and foremost. I think they can't.
Jorginho's penalty miss in the Euro surely has to sort of work against him. Come on.
Yeah. That's true.
Guys, you miss a penalty.
No. Stand up, run up to the ball and hit as hard as you can. Alan Shearer will teach you how to take a penalty. Not that Muppet, man. Come on.
All right, so but if you guys, I think actually the Mason Mount is a decent shot. But yeah, like you said, if he had done something in the final, then it probably would have been a louder shot. But yeah, nonetheless, if you had to pick between the three, who's your vote going to?
Me, Kante.
Ngolo.
I think Kante. De Bruyne has got a chance here. I think. I don't know. But. What would be quite interesting is, you know, Arsenal and Man United got to the final stages of the Europa League. So if they had like a Bruno Fernandes maybe sort of winning the tournament single-handedly and then possibly helping Portugal win the Euros, would he be thrown in the mix? That could be, I mean, that's just an outsider. Like, obviously, he's not one of the nominees, but it's just, you know, sort of... Would it have been a possibility? Would Europa League have been seen as a strong enough competition to gauge?
Guys, I just need to test my sound. Apparently, Claudio said that he can't hear me.
Because then Wonga,
I can hear him, but you guys can hear. It sounds like he's in a toilet. Whereas you guys you sound legit. You guys sound like pilots. We've got pilots and the guy taking a shit in the toilet. That's what it sounds like.
I was saying Wonga would have a chance then. To potentially get an Arsenal playing in there, but you guys bottled it in the semi-finals.
I don't even remember what happened. But there's no way an Arsenal player should get it. Nope.
Nope.
Oh, no, dude. Are you playing games with us? Because now you're just on mute. Check the settings. Anyway.
Does that help the acoustics of the room?
Yeah, it's a bit better.
It's a bit better. All right, guys. Well, it's time to
kick off. Who's yours, Claudia? Who's yours?
Mine's Kante. Sorry, I thought. Yeah,
guys, you see these Go Lounge sponsored earphones.
Can I just say, everyone else's
take them back.
Go Lounge sponsored earphones are working. That's all I'm saying.
I just take them back, bro.
You know what? It's experience. It's experience. You're used to the one. You see, these guys are adaptable. They know how to play with things.
Do you see what happens when you don't come prepared, eh?
Yeah.
Just saying. Hashtag just saying.
Right. Time for the Premier League games, guys. First game, first fixtures of the weekend we're going to talk about. And also, if you haven't joined our show before, we talk about the games or the fixtures coming up on the weekend. And in the end, we give our predictions of what we think is going to happen. First game for the weekend, Liverpool versus Burnley.
Wow. Liverpool's first on this list. That's crazy.
That's the record.
Normally, you put yourself right at the end of it.
I mean, Liverpool's the juiciest part of the story. That's why I try saving it back. Because, I mean, if I talk about Liverpool up front, then no one else gets airtime. And by the time we look at it, the show is over. And that's why I normally put them at the end. But yeah, Liverpool versus Burnley. Gentlemen, Wonga Denga, let's hear your thoughts in terms of how you think this is going to play out. And they are playing at Anfield.
It's gonna be an easy one for Liverpool. You know how Sean, you know your boy Sean Dyche is. It's gonna make it difficult for Liverpool to do anything. But I don't think Liverpool will have a problem doing anything against them. To be honest with you, last time they played was what, according to this, it was 3-0, and they seemed to, even though it was difficult, that Liverpool always come on top in these matches. I don't see anything different happening, to be honest with you. It could be a 1-0, it could be a 4-5, but I think Liverpool will be on top, to be honest with you, coming to this game.
Yeah, I mean, Claudio, I mean, to be very honest with you, you guys have got quite a favourable opening two fixtures here.
Sure.
Listen, Norwich and Burnley, I would have taken any day of the week.
Exactly.
But I mean, if you look at a Burnley, you know, we've all tipped them to potentially go down. I think we all hope they go down. But I think with the sort of performance that you put in and sort of getting players back to full fitness, you know, slowly but surely, you know, bedding in one or two new recruits, I think this should be a conventional performance for Liverpool and, you know, sort of really put Burnley to the sword, you know, because they're very limited in the way they play. It could get a little bit ugly, you know, they're going to have a game plan. They're going to try and sort of sit in and launch the ball a little bit. But, you know, if you get that first goal, it's a matter of, you know, how many are Burnley going to concede. So, yeah. And I think exactly what Jason's saying now, you know, sort of first time back at Anfield with maybe a full stadium. The atmosphere is going to be good. You know,
they did have fans.
They had fans last season, but it was like half or 25%. But what I'm saying is that's why I'm saying it's the first time they've had a full set of the cop's going to be hectic. And yeah, I think, you know, when you score the first, it's going to be a matter of how many you can actually go and get and sort of kill the game off.
Yeah, man, I think what happened last season, you guys want to obviously correct it, because last season, you know what happened? Burnley beat Liverpool at Anfield, you know? One of the many teams that beat Liverpool at Anfield last season. And I think Liverpool will want to make Anfield a fortress again. And having the 12th man back, as Claudio says it,
Why do you air quote that? Why, like, for Spurs, you were like, top man, and now you're like, top man?
No, because it make it seem like Liverpool's the only team that benefits from the 12th man.
I never said they were the only one, but I did say their 12th man is more significantly felt when they're not there in comparison to others.
No, I don't agree.
I think it was evidence last season. I think it was clear as day. Like, Liverpool losing all those games at Anfield was testament to that. I don't know, understand why, amongst all the other factors, of course.
I think you guys would have still lost a couple of those games with fans in the stadium.
Yeah, probably, but not as many. You know, it's one of those pick-me-up things where all of a sudden there's nothing picking them up. And also, talk about fans being the stadium. Even though it was away at Norwich, one of the players who did seemed to be back to normal because of the fans was a player like Sadio Mane. So that's interesting. A player playing away from home is hugely influenced. And I kept having this conversation and Musa saying, no, you know, fans weren't a factor. Fans aren't a factor when you play.
No, they are a factor. Saying, There are fans in football, man. 100%, guys. Yeah. Like, I think, you know, for instance, I can't remember which show I was watching, but they spoke about it. And the fact that, you know, you've got the fans in the stadium, right? You're just more aware. Like, you're just more aware. You know, the adrenaline is pumping. The atmosphere is there. If they're booing you, you want to prove them wrong. If they're cheering you on, you want them to cheer you on more. You know what I mean? And if something's happening in the game where there's a bit of a lull, you know, you can even just tell the fans, just, you know, like, just to get make more noise.
You need James Milner to do that. You need James Milner to do that. Come on, boys. Come on.
Exactly. You know, exactly. You gotta have something, you know. So the fans bring a different dynamic, and also, like, celebrating in front of fans is amazing, man. Like, you score a goal at an away game, you try to run to your section of the fans. At the home team, you run to your fans. There was even a match where fans ran onto the field for one of the goals. I think it was which team was it? Was it Everton or something? One of the teams, like, there was a goal. I think it was Everton. When Doucouré scored, Doucouré ran to the flag, took off his shirt, fans came onto the ground, touched him, they were celebrating, like, even the players were, like, high-fiving the fans.
You can see they've all had their vaccine shots there in the UK, Hooks running on touching players, hectic stuff happening there. But I think Pums makes a valid point, Jay. He says his concern is the midfield combinations for Liverpool. Who's the best player there? Are they going to play with a high-tempo football? I think what's interesting is, if you're looking at this season, finally, Hendo is in training along with Thiago, so that's going to be interesting as to who they decide to play in terms of combination-wise. But they do have an extra option now with Jota. If Jota's fit and they bring in Bobby, they could go a 4-5-1 as opposed to 4-3-3. So depending on the game and depending on who they need to unlock, I mean, you guys have already touched on the fact that Burnley is a side that's going to sit deep, and that's pretty much all they can really do against a side like Liverpool. But if I am Sean Dyche, what I will be doing is targeting the left back, because Tsimikas is a 6.5 going forward, and he's an absolute 3.2 defending. He is shocking.
How did you guys go for him instead of Jamal Lewis, guys? Because even Jamal Lewis is much better, guys.
Well, look at the oak. Nice chowing. Jamal Lewis's career has gone to shit. But either way, he probably would have been better off just sitting on the bench at Liverpool instead of going to Newcastle. He's not even playing there, Nick, is he?
No,
Jamal Lewis. Not.
No, listen,
he should have stayed with Norwich. He would have been back in the
suspect performances. I think he was used to playing this free-flowing football. Listen, I do think he's definitely one for the future. You know, he's a young sort of talent, and he's got ability, but, you know, basic defensive errors, running with the ball, passing the ball into midfield when it's not on, sort of.
Well, yeah, look, I will say this. I mean, Selo's mentioned him. I would have taken him ahead of Tsimikas. So Tsimikas has these moments. He's very much like a Moreno. Remember, Moreno's got those brain farts when he plays. Yeah. This Oak has that. You'll go forward and you'll have an amazing cross.
Yeah.
A couple of seconds later, he's not fit enough to keep up the pace of football playing at. He got spade fun on his ass on the weekend. I've never seen a defender defend like that. You're a fullback. You need to isolate the defender, come crouch low, show them aside. The man is standing like a beanpole, 2 feet, gets spun, falls on his. I was like, this is trouble. We need. And you know, you were talking about a favorable draw, Nick, in terms of Norwich and Burnley. Next game's Chelsea. So depending on what happens with this Arsenal-Chelsea game, it's going to be an interesting one. And we need Milner for the next one. But yeah. Robertson. But yeah, that's the Liverpool take. I think we might as well cover the next one, which is Aston Villa versus Newcastle.
Come on.
That is your side, yeah? I mean, come on. Villa playing at home, new signing. Surely they should walk all over Newcastle.
Yeah, they surely should have won last week as well, and they didn't.
Against Watford, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. I do think it will be in sort of even matchup. I think maybe if you want to give sort of a favorite, more than likely Aston Villa. But I do think, I said it on Tuesday, you know, what was nice to see was that we had fit attacking players and we caused trouble. We scored 2 goals against a team that finished in the top 6 last season. And if we can sort out the defensive issues, I think we've got a chance. Adding Joe Willock to that mix is going to also add potentially goals, potentially assists, and a bit of a work rate in the midfield where I think we lost the game towards the end of last weekend. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's always a hit and miss with these types of games for Newcastle, you know, and we'll see. We'll, as Steve Bruce says, we'll dust ourselves down and we'll go again. And, yeah, that's just that
that's point. What you got to say.
That quote annoys me when he says it, because he said it last week. We've got to dust ourselves down. We're like, fucking, how many times must we dust ourselves down from conceding over three goals in a game? The man said to us, said to the media today that he's seen significant improvement in the last 6 months, but they've been on holiday for 2 months of those 6 months. So I'm not too sure what 6 months he's talking about, but the man's off his head. Fucking clueless. Anyway. But I do think with a fit Sam Maximan, with a fit Sam Maximan, with a fit Willock Wilson and Miggy, I think we've always got a chance. We've got a chance to score some goals, create some chances, and hopefully we can keep them out the back.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's a fair point. You've got those players, and the difference now between this Newcastle side traveling to Villa is Villa do have all the new signings, and that, as much as it's meant to be a blessing, it's more of a curse, yeah. Especially when a team need to hit the ground running. So, I mean,
that's something that they need to try exploit, you know.
Yeah, true.
Exactly. You've seen it in the past, you know. Chelsea struggled in the beginning of last season because they had all these talented players, but they struggled to bed them in and get them to gel. So, yeah, we'll see. You know, also, I think losing Grealish is not going to – they're not going to find the solution overnight. You know, he created a lot of chances indirectly by the amount of fouls that he won. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see how many goals were scored from those fouls that he actually got for the team, you know, in terms of set pieces and how seriously they took them. So I'm sure they've got a plan. Remember, they also lost their assistant coach, John Terry. You know, what sort of pull he had.
Where did he go?
There was talk of him going on his own to another team. There was even talk that Newcastle wanted him at one stage. But, you know, your right-hand man, your second in charge is very important, because he sort of shows the head coach what – you know, when the head coach is in a position where he's so focused on the game, where he might not be seeing something happening on another side of the pitch or another phase of the game, you know. So they've gained, but they've also lost a bit. So I think it's a good chance to sort of try and take advantage of that. So I'm going to be supporting the boys, and hopefully,
as always,
we can at least get a point. Let's get off. Ronnie need 39 after that.
Hey, Arjun's back in the building. 5-1, stop it.
Does anyone else want to comment on what I was saying? Except for Claudio. You guys switch off when I speak about Newcastle.
No, man. Maybe add my voice. Let me add my voice to Villa versus Newcastle. So I think it's quite interesting, because, you know, the whole thing with teams playing at home, you know, we saw 7 teams winning last week, and 3 away teams winning. So, and if you look at it, it was your what's this club called? It was Liverpool winning away.
What's this club? Imagine.
No, man. Come on. No, I forgot.
What is that club?
Come on, man. I forgot. But what I'm saying is that it is you know, with the home teams, I think the home teams will be spurred on by the home crowd, you know what I mean? And I think this is where maybe a Villa, the fans could be obviously packed in Villa Park, you know, cheering on the boys type of thing. That could play into their part. And that's what probably spurred on Newcastle to have a great first half, you know what I mean? Like, you know, the previous game. But obviously they couldn't replicate in the second half. So I think a Villa, but the gelling part is a bit tricky, you know. So it's a bit of a fine balance when you're relying on one player called Grealish, and now he's not there anymore. But hey, man, I'm excited to see Saint Maximin, one of my favorite players. You know what I mean? You know, with his,
Steve Bruce, when he buys his pies, can he get bubble wrap as well? Because he needs to keep that player safe. Because without that player, they create nothing. But we're going to move on to the Leeds versus Everton game here. I mean, it's a big one in a sense, where we're looking at the type of managers that are facing each other. We've got expansive Bielsa versus pragmatic Rafa. So, and also newly appointed Rafa, which is very different. But one thing Rafa does is he does know how to set up a team with basic bare bones. He does know how to build a structure. So based on that fact alone, gentlemen, Wanga Denga, you've been quiet here, looking into this game. How do you think this is going to play out?
Yeah, I don't know who would want to win this, but looking at Leeds, I mean, they're coming home. Well, they're coming home. They lost, what, 4-0 in the previous, you know, 5-1 in the previous match. They're looking to obviously redeem themselves. But I think this is the sort of team where Bielsa, this is the sort of coach that Bielsa would want to play against the way he's playing. He sets up, just like Nick said, he's not going to set up for any game. He always plays the way that, you know, he plays, and it's risky at times if you're going to be playing against teams like Man United, Liverpool, and at Chelsea, because that's exactly what they want you to do. But against your Everton, I think, yeah, just with the pragmatic way you're saying, I think it sort of could, help them, because that's the only way they probably might most likely going to pinch a goal, from their team. But to say who's going to win it, I mean, Leeds have had a bad form of run. I mean, looking at not their Champions League, I'm just talking about preseason. They've lost, looks like almost every game they've played, most of the games in the preseason. I see 5 straight losses, then a draw, and they've come out and they've lost in the Premier League as well. So I think, I don't know what's happening there, but I think they're trying to find a way to win. And I just hope it doesn't carry on.
Finding the way to win, Wonga. We've got Darren on the line here, and he's mentioning the fact that the home force, the 12th man, we've already touched on from a Liverpool aspect, but Nick, how important is this Elland Road going to be for Leeds against?
Elland Road is a sort of cathedral of English football. You know, it's got a lot of history. I think Darren's 100% right. It's going to be a hostile atmosphere for any team that goes there. And I do think they've always got a chance with the style that they sort of portray every weekend. They've always got a chance to make it uncomfortable for teams and try and win the ball high up and score goals. And there's obviously the other side of the coin, and I'm quite vocal about it, that sometimes he needs to learn when to sit in and, you know, defend a draw at least. You know, was it 1-1 at some point with Man United, you know, and losing 5-1, you know, that I would be disappointed with that as a coach. You know, you got yourself back into the game, you're away at Old Trafford, you know, take what you can get. But, you know, Bielsa is Bielsa, and who can argue with Bielsa? And dare I say, you know, I've had one or two arguments with Leeds fans on Twitter. You know, if you say anything about Bielsa, they just jump down your throat. It's not like I'm not having a go at Bielsa. I just think that they can sort of improve with a more conservative style at times. It doesn't need to change completely. But just my point on Rafa, these are the types of games that Rafa loves. Being an ex-Newcastle coach, I know. We beat Man City twice, a Pep Guardiola Man City. I think we drew with Liverpool once. We beat Chelsea twice. And he's able to get his defensive organization to a point where, you know, it doesn't matter how hard you press him or sort of how well you counter and your attacking transitions are. You know, he will have a plan. He's very calculated, as is Bielsa. And I think it's going to be a nice matchup with regards to all the different tactics that both of these coaches bring to the table. So I could see a Leeds win, but I could also very well see a Rafa snatching it. You know, maybe not deserving it, but sitting in, being conservative and winning the game because he's taking his chances.
Yeah, I know. It's definitely, I think... Yeah, man. As you say, it's a setup quite nicely for Everton. You know, but I think that atmosphere at Elland Road, guys, is going to be ridiculous, guys. It's just, you know, first time in the Premier League, you know, for 16 years, you know, 16, 17 years, you know. So I think that in itself is going to spur them on so much, and they're going to be ready for this. They're pumped right now. They're probably running from their house to training and running back, you know, train and run back home type of vibe, you know. They're making sure that they're ready for this game. They're pumped. The city is just making sure it's just, you know, this is atmosphere is probably building right now, you know. So I feel that Leeds will definitely take this game. It'll be a great game to watch. As you said, different coaching styles as well. You know, Rafa Benitez, pragmatic, you know, and then obviously Bielsa with his Bielsa ball. So, yeah, I'm very excited.
I think what's quite interesting here, sorry, Claudio, before you You jump all in. Good. You know, with regards to the 12th man, I think what's quite important to note here, and I've done both. I've done a home stadium and an away stadium, and the away days for the fans traveling are huge. So this will be one of Everton's, or it will be Everton's, for the Everton fans, their first away day in however long, in over a season. So, you know, it's going to be, you know, for all teams, I think this weekend, first away day, you know, it's going to be exciting for them. And they'll draw, you know, Everton will draw from that. And every away team this weekend will draw from that. I know the Newcastle away end is incredible. And they hate Aston Villa because Villa relegated us in 2009. So they're going to be up for it. It's going to be very loud in both sections. But I think for all the teams playing their first away game, it's going to be interesting to see what sort of what they can draw from the atmosphere that they have.
And also, let's not forget Richarlison. Sure, I think he's a key player for Everton. For any success, Everton, and he's
gold.
Yep, he's coming off the back of an Olympic gold medal. He is in form, and whether or not he gets riled up by the fans, that's going to be key for them. So that he might be the difference on the day. But gentlemen, Man City versus Norwich. I mean, this, technically speaking, on paper at the very least, is a foregone conclusion. But we have to cover the game anyway. Do we see Norwich doing anything at the Etihad?
Yes, appearing. Showing up.
You're just going to see them show up and then disappear.
How unfair is this league? Liverpool get Norwich and Burnley, and Norwich get Liverpool and Man City.
It's tough, guys. It's tough.
You just got promoted, and you're like, okay, here's
welcome
Liverpool
back.
Man City.
Welcome back, gentlemen. Here's a nice ship.
Who's the
next
kid? It's tough, guys. It's tough, guys.
And they got Leicester after that, too.
Hey, yeah.
Top then, five, oh wow! Then they got Arsenal.
The top five in three games. Yeah. That's crazy. Nah, City should run away with it. You know, especially I think that's the worst thing to do is to play against Man City once they've lost the week before.
Like, yeah, it's the worst.
You know, wounded animal. But you know, this is the Premier League. We've spoken about it before. It's nothing's a foregone conclusion. You know, Norwich would have fixed a few things, but I would hate to be Norwich going to City this weekend.
It's not ideal for them. But if you're looking at the City side, especially the side that did play against Spurs, there are weaknesses there. I mean, case in point, Nathan Ake is not the quickest. And when you're playing a high line, you can get caught. That's the first thing. The other thing is the left back. Also, again, depending on who they start, Zinchenko or Mendy.
They must start Zinchenko's better, guys. At least Zinchenko has this, guys. He's got football.
I love Mendy on social media, though, guys. That guy cuts me off. He's like a duck, guys. But that guy runs. He had an ankle ligament injury a couple of years ago. He ran on the field with his crutches. Then he left the crutches.
The physios were
trying to call him back. I think they had won a cup or got into a final or something like that. He's not well upstairs.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah. And I mean, like, he has a good comment here. Warren's saying, you know, I think City might come in expecting an easy game and be surprised. I mean, there's one thing we know about Norwich, especially even last weekend. They're not afraid to put in the yards. And this is what I'm saying. So if they do sit deep like they did against Liverpool, and there were periods in the game against Liverpool that they had a bit of the ball, and Liverpool were the ones sitting deep, especially in the first half. So in this case, if they allow City to have it, they sit deeper and they catch Nathan Ake. They really capitalize on that right-hand side, which they've got the guy who's spun Tsimikas all over the place. What's his name? The player he played on the wings. I forgot his name now, the Norwich boy. Something with an R. Give me a second. I'll get it now. Wonga, you can jump in before I find this guy's name.
Play with an R. Norwich.
Is it an R?
I don't know.
Give me a second.
But yeah, I mean, Man City, they've lost. I think they've lost two games in a row.
His name's Rashica.
Rashica.
Rashica was turning guys inside out. He was hurting them. I was like, how is this Norwich player just doing things? He was quick. So, I mean, there is potential. So, if I'm the manager, I'm looking at that. I'm going, right-hand side, Rashica, let's see what we can do there. Cantwell supporting. And also, this midfield three, I think the comments here, Stones and KDB, you know, must be starting according to Pums. We know that midfield three wasn't ideal for City. I understand when you're looking at Jackie Boy and Sterling playing on the left-hand side, geez, that is absolutely threatening on the left-hand side, but it still wasn't ideal. Sorry, Walker.
They need to play Rodri. They need to play Rodri and KDB with Gundogan in the midfield, and then play what's this guy Jack Ford left, and then on the right they can choose Sterling or Mahrez. You know what I mean? I think they, that makes sense.
They, you know, Norwich have nothing to lose. So they lost 3-0 last week. They've gone into the Etihad. It's like, it's a hit and miss for them, you know, if, or, you know, hit and score. You know, they might just be able to go there and nick something. It is unlikely, but I think he'll probably, I mean, possibly tell his players, you know, go and enjoy the moment. You know, you're back in the Premier League. Our away fans are here on an away day at the Champions of England. Go and entertain them and go and see what you can do. So, you know, it might actually be quite an entertaining game, and City might just get over the line, or, you know, might be an entertaining game and Norwich nick something.
It could also be the game that Grealish runs away with something. Sorry, go ahead, Wonga.
True. I think going on next point as well. It's on City's side for them. It's a no lose game. I mean, they've lost now against Leicester, and now they've lost against
two games in a row. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and then I've lost against Tottenham. I mean, you're looking at City's record. I don't think they've lost two games in a row, for quite a while. I'm looking down here. Nothing this year. There's nothing on last year, but, you know, knowing Pep, he's going to want to break that cycle. You want to break that losing cycle, start the winning momentum. And, what a better team to do it against, than Norwich, who's just come from the Championship.
Yep. And I mean, Darren's got a valid point here. He says they did win at the Etihad last season. Remember, they did.
Timo Pukki.
Let's not forget that.
Yeah, Timo Pukki.
Also, shout out.
3-2.
Is it Leon Shordu? How do you pronounce his name, guys? This one.
Where?
Leon Shordu.
Is it one word or what? But can I answer his question?
Leon,
quickly?
Shout out to you for joining us today.
Can I answer his question quickly about Odegaard? Odegaard will not be playing on Sunday due to Brexit. It is harder for players to do their deals quicker. So the player needs to first get a visa, and the visa takes as long as it takes. So basically, administratively, it could take 5 days, it could take 3 days, whatever. You know, Varane took more than 3 days. So unfortunately, Odegaard will not play on Sunday because of Brexit. Blame Brexit for Arsenal fans. Blame Brexit for Odegaard not playing.
You think he won't even be the difference?
No!
Right, but we'll build up. We'll build up the Arsenal signing Odegaard as well as the Arsenal-Chelsea game. We're getting there, but before we do that, Southampton versus Man United. Celo, I mean, 5-1 from last week. Do they carry this into this game against Southampton, away from home?
Yeah, man, I think we need to keep on with the momentum, you know. But, Southampton is a team that you get either or. You know, Southampton can beat you, or you can whip them 5-0. 9-9. Why would you beat them 9-1 or whatever?
9-1.
But that's the thing as well, is that they've also lost 3 key players. You know, they've lost Vestergaard, Bertrand, and Danny Ings.
Danny Ings, yeah.
So obviously that makes them a bit weaker. And also against Everton, you saw they had defensive lapses in concentration. So I think they're there for the taking, definitely. I would like a clean sheet more than anything. I would take a 1-0 over a 4-1.
Fair enough. I mean, I think that's a fair assessment. Yeah. Nick, you want to weigh in here?
No, I think if Man United can continue their away form that they had last season, you know, it should be a conventional 3 points back to Old Trafford for them. But I do think, you know, Southampton's always been a hit and miss sort of team. You know, they either show up or they completely nowhere. And I think losing those players is going to be a big miss for them. Did Wolcott sign permanently, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, he did.
I don't know if he played on the weekend, so that's a positive. They've just signed a former Newcastle striker who scored on the weekend, Adam Armstrong. We were looking at actually taking him back, but he scored a good, very good goal on the weekend. So he'll be a threat, but just looking at
Nick, you said he was a Newcastle player.
Yeah, Adam Armstrong. Yeah, he came.
You guys let go of Armstrong and Tony.
Yeah, they were both in the same team. They were both in the under-23 team. Both got contracts at the same time. And then Steve McLaren released both of them. But anyway,
it's good on you, Stevie.
But in terms of the,
you just can't trust the Steve in Newcastle colours, can you?
In terms of the deal with Adam Armstrong, he moved to Blackburn, and then there was a add-on deal if he got sold. So we got, I think we got 40% of the deal. So 40% of 25 million. So it's not bad business. But I mean, Southampton are in the sort of same caliber as us, and we would probably do with a striker right now. So I would have taken him back, and we would have paid the difference. But good luck to him. It's actually quite a weird one. He's a Geordie through and through. His idol was Alan Shearer. Shearer started his career at Southampton, went to Blackburn, and finished it at Newcastle. He's done it just in reverse. He started at Newcastle, went to Blackburn, and now he's at Southampton. So that was just quite a quirky little stat.
Just in case you're wondering why we have Nick on the show, it's because of these little facts about Newcastle players. That's all. Just in case you're wondering. Stillo, here's a good question. Cole is back in the house, by the way, so shout out to him. But the question is, Ole has to start Varane and Sancho with Matic and VDB in midfield. What do you think about this?
Hey, man, he won't play Donny, guys. Guys, that is ended, guys. But listen, I would say,
you need to play my boy because I need him for the national team now. I mean, old links there, old Trafford.
I would love to see Donny starting with Matic in the midfield. He needs some minutes, and I think he's a very good player. Or even
you
if
you want
even
Matic if, to go, bro.
Matic, if yeah, we sign, if we, no, if we sign a defensive mid, he must go. Obviously, I think I was saying that he must go because we can use that money to sign a defensive mid. But you know, obviously, I don't think it will happen right now. So I think that even if Donny starts ahead of McTominay, I'll be very happy. You know, and then Pogba can still be on the left hand side in his free role. But with Donny there, I think that Donny deserves a chance, man. He's done nothing to not deserve a chance. You know what I mean? He's never been given an opportunity, you know? So I feel that he should definitely start this game.
But from coach's perspective, you're not going to change, especially your offensive players. So, like, I don't see Sancho starting at all. Like, Sancho is going to come off the bench again. They're going to take their time. No. I think a player like Varane could definitely, definitely get in there.
But Dan James needs to bench, guys. Come on, guys. He's the only thing he's good at is running, guys. He's a supersonic. He should have been at the Olympics for the 200 meters, 400 meter type of thing.
He scored 5 goals. He's not going to change it, bro.
But he didn't contribute to any of the goals. Zero. Dan James contributed to 0 goals. No assists.
So maybe. And you know what? Maybe. You know what? According to Graham Souness, he shouldn't have contributed to any of them because Pogba should have contributed to all 5. That's that.
And scored them.
I want to say unlucky to Leon, Chordo or whatever, for putting in Harry Kane over Bruno for fantasy over the weekend. That is shit, and that did happen. So unlucky to you. We're just going to move on then, and we're going to talk about the next one. And the next one's an interesting game, largely because of the fact that it's old man Nuno going back to his former stomping ground.
So soon.
Very soon. I mean, this is interesting because this could go either way. He's just come off the back of a huge win at 4-4 against Man City, sorry. And what if he goes back to Wolves and gets beaten here? What happens to the psyche of this team?
But you see, Wolves have got an injury list of notes.
I didn't see Darren's question, guys. Sorry, guys.
What is it?
What is the question? You might as well answer it.
He asked, does he think Lingard will get a chance? I think that he won't get a chance.
Quick answer. And that's a no.
Listen, West Ham must come take him, man. Give us the £25 million. That's what he's going for. But yeah. Take it away, Wonga. Sorry about that, man. I just wanted, just had to answer Darren there. Sorry, I didn't see it.
Now, look, I'm just looking here. I'm just looking at where it remains this way. They've got Podence out, Neto's out. They've got a guy, Bruin is out, Boli's out. That's for Wolves. Boli, Neto, Podence, and those are some top players for Wolves. So Tottenham might
Kamenez is only just coming back as well. Skull fracture.
Do you play Kane? Do you guys play Kane?
Kane's not there.
He's leaving.
No, they said he was going to be available for this weekend, available for selection.
Wasn't he meant to be available tonight? And he's
no.
A conference league, come on, man.
No. But they said, sorry, they said two nights ago that he hasn't traveled, but he is going to be available for selection. Whether or not he makes a squad is a different story. He's available for selection for the weekend. Because he only
I wouldn't put him there. I wouldn't take him with. You don't know what's happening. Yeah. You know the player wants to leave. You're a new manager. You've just come off the back of beating Man City. You bring him along. You start him ahead of someone else, and then he leaves. And then you're stuck with players going, yes, coach, you're going to play me, but I knew I wasn't your number one choice. Yeah. I don't think that bodes well.
It's not the same thing. He's a striker. There's no other striker.
Dude, Son played the way that he played. The way he played, he's going, I'm the main man. Make me the main man.
If he's available, I see him playing this weekend. If he's
Son doesn't hold the ball up well. Son wasn't holding up the ball well. They were playing on a counter-attack. This game, you're not playing on a counter-attack. This is a different type of game that you're playing against Wolves. You need a striker, a number nine in this game. If you play Vinicius, I understand. Rather play Vinicius then, the Brazilian guy who came from Benfica then that makes sense.
Look, I think we need to get the Chorizo, the Pregos, and get ready for this game.
Because it's a battle of the Portuguese managers. Our team is mostly Portuguese, and
I just want to say, I love how George Main just turned the English Premier League into a Portuguese Chorizo fest. So thank you very much, Nick. I like that fact. But I do want to say, I think the theme for Spurs this season is going to be sitting deep, catching them on the counter-attack. Because hypothetically, whatever, Kane leaves. That front three that played last weekend have enough pace to hurt anyone on their day.
Yeah.
Enough pace. So they're going to be sitting.
Mora and Bergvall.
I mean, that is at least all.
Bergvall doesn't say fit, though. He's, like I said, maximum. Like, he's really good. But, like, he tends to get a lot of injuries. And he's quite young. So it's a little bit of a concern. I mean, I watched that All or Nothing series with Spurs, and he was brought in by Mourinho. I mean, he was the next best thing, and he scored that goal against City, beat City, and then the next thing he's injured, and he was out for long, and I think he had spells last season. I'd love to see him because he's such a talent.
So I just want to make a comment on Darren's comment. Spurs tried to get Bamford, but he signed a new 5-year contract today. Did anyone else hear these rumors apart from Darren?
No, I didn't hear that.
I heard the contract extension, but I didn't hear about the rumors.
All right. Okay. So now the big game for the weekend, the Arsenal versus Chelsea. We've already touched on the fact that Odegaard is coming to Arsenal, but he won't be playing this weekend. Gentlemen,
Is it going to be confirmed by Cyrillo Romano?
Yeah, there we go. As you heard here live on Pre-Match Muti, but chances, yeah, is this going to be pure carnage, or is it going to be an Arteta special against a big side?
Hey, Wonga, you need to open this up, brother. We're all here for you, man.
Give Wonga a hug, guys. Say some comforting words to Wonga in the comments there, guys. Please, come on.
Look, I mean, yes, Chelsea, as they can hurt any team the way they play. I think where Arsenal lose it with many of the other teams again is that obviously our tactics, but the physicality, they never match any team on it. If any team says, look, we're going to be physical today, we have to just be harder than them, try to get everything first. Arsenal back off. And these are different... These are, you could say, generations of players. It's happened for a long time now. It's not just happening with Arteta's team. If any team becomes physical, it's Arsenal. They can't meet them there. And I mean, never mind meet them. They don't have to, but they just can't play. Arsenal, they all test the positive. Oh, I thought they said they were injured. But that's what it says here. Aubameyang won't play. Gabriel won't play. Lacazette won't play. Nketiah's not going to play. And Partey won't be there. And obviously Odegaard won't be there as well.
There's no party this weekend.
There's nothing happening. Obviously that means.
Sorry, Wonga, listen to this. Warren's saying, make a bet, win, I buy you 5 new beanies. Also, you can't wear yours in winter anymore.
No.
Let's think of a bet, guys. Let's think of the bet by the time Wong is over here. Let's see if he can get himself 5 new beanies.
Wong, I just read the news that Arjun broke there.
Yeah.
Aubameyang has now tested negative and is ready to be reintegrated. Yeah, he'll return to training and be assessed prior to Sunday's match. So he could make it.
Okay, he could make it.
Yeah. I like Colwell's comment here.
Look,
Lukaku versus Ben White. Hey, that might be...
Look at that smile, boy. That's hey, getting excited there.
Have you guys seen? You guys have seen that image, right?
We got that thick guy.
that white skinny guy. Yes, and they're like, that's Lukaku versus Ben White. But I think that'll be Lukaku versus. That'll be Lukaku versus any defender in that team. But looking at the way we should start, obviously, if Lacazette's not available and Aubameyang's there, most probably will play him down the middle of Aubameyang. But I'm just saying in the event that Lacazette is there as well, Aubameyang needs to play down the middle. Lacazette, I think, had his best season last season. I think it's the most goals he scored in his career. But it never matched Aubameyang's best. And Aubameyang needs to play down the middle. You can't now, they play a season where we take out Ozil, the guy who was assisting our playmaker, and then they play Aubameyang down the wing, and people are expecting him to do the same thing. I don't think that's right. And they must also remove the captaincy from the guy. I can't see. I don't think he's a captain.
I don't see leadership.
No, you don't see him getting the guys, come on, man. Nah, he's chillas, he's quiet, he just wants to go about doing business and score goals. Wonga, does Arteta get sacked if you lose your opening three games? I don't think so. That's what worries me. But it's gonna be a tough one. I think the only thing I can only rely on is I know I'm gonna get a good performance from Tierney, your Smith Rowe. And Pepe, I don't know about him as well, but... Hey.
I mean, Wonga, I want to ask you something, just in case people weren't aware of the fact that Darren is a hopeless romantic, in case you needed more evidence. I mean, he already supports Leeds. But yeah, he's saying Arsenal's going to win 2-1. If this result happens, who are the players that are going to be the difference for Arsenal in the day against Chelsea?
Saka.
Oh, it'll be Saka, it'll be Smith Rowe, it'll be Tierney. I think Martinelli would also be there as well. I'm just worried about that Pablo Mari and Lukaku. You. I can see Lukaku just like saying, look, I'm going to aim for this guy.
What are the other options centre back holding?
Holding, goodness me. That's the only other option.
You'll be like doing memes of him
clutching at school.
Like holding nothing.
We need to, this thing of Chambers, right back. Look, Cedric is better than Chambers for me, at right back. He's offering defense and going forward. Chambers, you get a good game from him and then the others are just horrible. It's just for me, it's almost like a Shaka. Obviously, if you're playing, flipping 100 games in your life, one of them is going to be good. One of them is going to be a good game. So, and that's what I see with, those guys as well. I just think they average. And if Arsenal want to do this thing of winning the Champions League in 2023, I don't think it's gonna be with those guys. That's my comment on
tough times are lost in Arsenal, man.
Look, did you see that thing with Ramsdale? We're signing Ramsdale now. They said apparently it's just in principle. 24 million pounds. And we let go of Martinez for 16. And then we had, no, this is 16. And then we let go of, what's his name? I don't think Matt Ryan's there anymore.
It was a loan.
Yeah, he went back. Yeah, he went back to
Brighton. It was a loan. Yeah.
Okay. But, they said in, and I also read there that Arsenal apparently have spent the most, This 2021, 129 million pounds, and we have nothing to show for it. Nothing. Oh my, I can't believe it. When I saw
Ben White to show for it.
You got Benny Boy.
Because they're counting the Ben White, Odegaard, and Ramsdale.
I get it. No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. What's that gonna, you guys, Cello, you guys bought, Varane for how much?
34.
Then Ben White, he hasn't seen a Champions League match. Has he seen a World Cup final? Has he seen a World Cup semi-final?
Did they call him Benji? Or...
All I want to ask is, I saw what kind of lamp that Leon Chordu has here in his room. Because he's saying if Ben White was worth 50 million in the market, then his table lamp is worth 40 million. What kind of lamp is this lamp?
Let's see this lamp.
It's a lamp that switches on, bruh. That Ben White, I don't know, bruh. Like, for me, for 50 million, it's, I don't, any player spending 50 million on this, he has to give you something.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead, Wonga.
So, and then Paul Merson said it. I think, yeah, very opinionated character. Obviously, you're gonna be disagreeing with some of the stuff the guy says. But this time, I agreed with him. He says whoever is doing the transfers at Arsenal, it's just been lazy. Then there's also Willian on 200k, and apparently he's got a boop now, sitting on the bench.
He's got a belly. I thought imagine writing a book. How to get paid for doing nothing and move from Chelsea to and stay in London. There we go. That's how you get a book. Yes.
So I think, and then what the nice, you see, like the funny thing, even with Arsenal, that this is why media plays a big part in this as well, is that now when they showed that 129 million, I saw on Sky Sports, they saw the 129 million. And whose picture is there? It's Arteta's picture. But does Arteta have any say in who he's signing the players? I don't think he has much say in who signed the players. It's the boy Edu. They should have put Edu's face.
But he wanted Odegaard. Let's also remember that, guys. He wanted
Odegaard only.
No.
Odegaard, Willian.
For £30 million, guys, that's a good buy, in my opinion.
A steal, guys.
And he's still young. He's very young.
So why don't you get a...
Yes.
He's still young. Get that's the issue. Trendy. You need a man with real balls.
Edu out.
Yeah, look, I think that needs to happen. I think that'll save us this weekend if we just go do what Man United did against Liverpool. Just say...
The Ben White one is almost as strong as the Joelinton one.
Please, get it right. On this show, we don't say Joelinton, we say Golinton. That's what we say. Let's go.
Yeah, now there's Sundalas there, bro. Heavy. No, I'm just saying, I think we've got a chance if we do that, Nick, against Chelsea. If we do what Man United did with Liverpool, if we start a riot just before game day, then they can postpone it. And then since we don't have any, we're not in any cup. Chelsea's playing Champions League, they're in everything. So maybe we meet them on a weekend where they've got already 3 games and then we can play against them. I think that's the only way we win this weekend. Otherwise, we're dead.
I just want to follow up on that note. This is slowly, Goal Lounge TV and Pretty Much Moody slowly becoming Arsenal TV. That's what's happening here. And then the second thing I want to comment on is the kickbacks thing's quite funny. I don't know who's doing those deals at Arsenal. But okay, time for the betting corner predictions. We're going to start off with Nick. We're going to follow up with Celo and then Wonga. And then we're going to end off with my predictions. I mean, first game of the weekend, Liverpool versus Burnley. Uh-huh. Nick started. Coach Nick,
hey.
What is your educated opinion here?
I think it's another 3-0 victory. 3-0 victory for the Reds against Sean Dash, and I can't wait to hear him say, "We played well."
guys, Nick's been on his spare time. He's been working on his.
That's not bad, Nick. If I closed my eyes, I would have thought he just popped in the show.
But I think it'll be 2-0 to Liverpool. I think Burnley will make it a bit tricky for them a bit, but after Liverpool just figure it out, they'll probably get a goal towards the end of the first half, and then the second goal will come by the 17th minute.
Yeah, I see 4-0 flat out. Yeah, I think Liverpool will be on it. Fans behind them. And I think, yeah, they'll also try and be more responsible, very responsible in terms of not conceding. So, yeah, I think a 4-0.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I'm going to agree with Wonga. 4-0, just because fans back at Anfield, and I think, yeah, they're going to be flowing.
Is Van Dijk back? Is he close to being back?
No, he played last week. Here's the thing, we had both.
Did he play the 90?
He played full 90, him and Matip. The thing is, you could see they were both rusty, 100% rusty. But the difference was Van Dijk managed the game really well. I think he covered the least amount of distance. He was there still doing the thing. So, yeah, very, it's a huge positive. He'll get there. But just like I said, I've mentioned this previous episode, his presence on the field is enough for Liverpool, and especially against Burnley. We know that it's not exactly like they've got players to run in behind there. So they'll be all right. They'll
just all right. hit the balls against Wood and Rodriguez.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, the big one there for you, Nick. Aston Villa versus Newcastle.
I am going to go with a 2-1 victory for the Toon Army. I think Callum Wilson will score again, and I think Joe Willock to get back on the score sheet, and that will be 8-8 for him, which will be incredible.
Okay. I see.
No, sorry. Claudio's at the wheel. I was making shit on the screen.
Wow.
Cloud you out.
Let's get it trending. I said it's going to be a draw, a 1-1. I definitely see. Yeah, I mean, I see what's this guy's name? Traore scoring for Villa, and then in terms of Newcastle, I see Wilson scoring a goal.
Nice. Yeah, look, I think, Newcastle, I probably see them do conceding, but I think they will come with the win. I think Nick, with Wilson, I watched him play as well. I think, it makes a huge difference. If he's gone, I think my decision becomes completely opposite. Aston Villa, I think they're still trying to find out what to do without Grealish. I don't think, like Nick said, I don't think they're going to sort that out quickly. So I think I'll see a 3-1. I think Newcastle do have goals in them.
Is Savannah fully indoctrinated into Newcastle there?
She's asked me to get her a jersey, so I need to make a plan there.
Well, if you don't, Savannah, we've got a lot of Liverpool jerseys lying around here. If he takes his time, if the man is sleeping, remember, other men pounce, so I'll just give you my Liverpool jersey. That's
Nick, wait, your jerseys, you have to get them from the UK.
Yes, now we have to. You could get them, I think, a season or two ago here in South Africa. I think Rashid Kassim actually stocks most Premier League teams, but with this new sponsor, Castoria, I don't see them. I think they would bring in Puma, they would bring in Nike, they would bring in Adidas. Yes. So Castoria might be, it's a little bit more.
Oh, sounds a different unique. Brand, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. I'll contact them.
Okay.
Yeah. Just to round off mine, I'm going to go with a 1-1 just because as long as you've got Wilson and St. Maximum, you've always got a goal. And Villa, we know they're all over the place right now. They need a gel. So I just think it's open cards for a classic draw there. So let's hope we get something as exciting as what Arjun's put
down
there.
Guys, sorry to just interrupt here. With regards to Wilson, and I've said it again, if the man can stay fit, I honestly think like a team like Arsenal or Spurs or, you know, a team in the top eight at least, he could definitely fit in. He's scoring goals 100%. For us if we fight in relegation. I think his only problem, again, is also sort of keeping fit. But he said outright, he says he wants to go to the World Cup. And, you know, if he can stay fit and bang in the goals, you know, if Ollie Watkins can do it in one season, I'm sure he could.
Just a side note, who do you think will be the three strikers? So it'll be Kane and who are the other two? Who are the two English strikers that you think are going to do well this season?
I think Wilson, if he can stay fit, and if we, but it's very hard to say. I think Bamford will have another good season. I think Ollie Watkins is one that came and he's going to maybe struggle this year because I think Ings and him will share the goals. I don't think he's going to be as prolific as you would say. But I think Kane, naturally. I don't know if any of you guys would have him at your team, Wilson. Yes, Darren, I do want to keep him, but I just think he's too good for us. And that's why I always worry when the transfer window comes.
Do you know, like even their last match when they broke down like Wilson's goal, if you look at the way in which he scored, it wasn't just him. Yeah, his movement was all purposeful. Textbook. Yeah, it was textbook. He did everything, moved the defenders. All that mattered, the cross. That's all that mattered was the cross. The cross had to be right, and the goal. And then he made sure that. And I mean, that's a striker you want. You want to make sure that this guy. I liked it, and I agree with Nick on that point. But definitely, I would take him.
I mean, he's goals. definitely he's definitely a player who knows his strengths. I think that's exactly. Yeah. He's not trying to reinvent himself. He's not trying to be something. He's a number nine who wants to bang in the goals. He knows the ball goes out wide. You get into the box. I think Alan Shearer is still saying it. If you've got a player like that, you just whoop the crosses in.
He's waiting.
But anyway.
Right, next game, Leeds versus Everton. Big one for Darren and also for all the Everton fans.
I think...
Not that we have many, but... Yeah.
I see a draw here. I do see... I think Leeds, as Wonga said, they came off a torrid preseason. They did play some strong teams, but I don't know if he's trying different combinations out. Obviously, the style sort of remains, but I wonder if they are being found out here and there. I do think it's going to be hard to break down a Rafa team who is normally very organized. So I do see a 1-1. Good game, though. Good game, different styles, but I see it ending in a draw.
Yeah, no, I see a win for Leeds United, their first home game. As I said, I see it ending 2-1 to Leeds. Patrick Bamford on the score sheet, and yeah, any other player in their team can obviously score. I think maybe Rafinha can also give me a nip a goal.
Yeah, I think I would have said a draw if it was maybe last year, but now thinking about where they play, that Leeds at home, looking at Leeds' run as well, I mean, surely after all these hidings, I'm thinking, you know, they, something's telling them like, today's the day. So yeah, I definitely think Leeds will take it 2-1, but it won't be easy. And as pragmatic as Rafa is, I mean, last game they still got 3 goals in the previous game they played, so. Yeah, I think both teams have potential to score, but probably Leeds will get the edge because of the home fans.
Mm. Yeah, that's going to be an interesting sort of
dynamic.
Dynamic, because they're going to come out flying. We know there's going to be a lot of energy.
100%.
There's going to be that spell in the game. If Everton can keep it tight at the back
keep
and not
contained,
suffer.
Yeah.
If they manage to do that, they'll probably walk away with the 3 points, in my opinion, if they can survive that first 30 minutes. But that said... just because I like Darren, I'm going to mislead him and say I'm going with an Everton win 2-1.
From a Liverpool fan, that's unheard of.
Yeah, it's rougher.
Rougher's made you soft.
No, it's your point, Nick. It's your point of Evertonians traveling away from home. I think that's going to be also quite significant. I know Leeds are playing at home and you're going, well, they definitely have them in more of an advantageous sort of situation. But yeah, I think it's going to be an upset there. And 5-1 drumming. Could you imagine Bielsa under pressure losing 2 of those games back to back? I don't think it's going to be a good third game for them. But right, Man City versus Norwich. Nick?
I think 3-0 City. I think conventional. I think they'll bang in the goals. Yeah, I think it'll be simple, straightforward. Unlucky Norwich. 2 hard games to start the season off with.
Yeah, this one's a bad one.
So, that pause you have, do you only think about it as the thing as we shift to you? Is that when you think?
No. I'm trying to think if there's a chance Norwich can get something out of it. But I think it's going to be a 4-0 win to Man City. Yeah, they're going to be on it. I don't think Norwich can get a goal this time round. So I think 4-0 to City.
Yeah, again, like I said.
If we take Pums' scoreline and Arjun's method, this needs at least 8 minutes to 10 added on at the end of the game.
to get the goals to go.
At least someone's paying attention. Well done, Nick. I like that. Yeah, Wonga?
No, I think looking at what City did, obviously I said what City lost 2 games in a row. They're going to be obviously gunning for the league. They have to get rid of that that momentum they're on now. So I say it's going to be 5-0.
Look at Arjun.
Puka puka. Puki puki. Puki puki puki.
Yeah, I know Norwich went and did the business there last season, but I don't think it's going to happen this time around. I think Grealish is going to do some things, hold the ball, not get last the set
season.
Pieces.
Season before.
Oh, season before. It's already a while ago. Thank you very much, Nick. Again, like I said, paying attention. He knows what he's doing tonight. If there's ever a time to listen to Nick, it is only on his 60th appearance. That's why he's so kind to him.
He's on the ball. Yeah, he's on the ball. The bat's on the ball.
Yeah, MVP tonight, that's for sure. Where's the captain's armband? We can get a goal line drawn made. Yeah? Throw it your way. Yeah, but I think it's going to be a 3-0 routine victory there for Man City, unfortunately. That's where I'm going with that one. Let's go. Next one, Southampton versus Man United.
Ooh, I see a 3-1 win for Man United. I think hopefully Varane scores. I want him to score the header there to set piece. I think Adam Armstrong will
get it.
Hey, you've set the standard now, Silo. Every Thursday, we want to see that armband. That's the standard now. Okay, as you were, Nick.
I said 3-1. I actually take it back. I think 3-2. I think Southampton going to make it a bit excited. I think I want Varane to score. I think he will score. I think Bruno will be involved. Pogba will be involved. Greenwood will be involved. Yeah, exciting.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a 2-0 victory to Man United. The most important thing I feel is a clean sheet in this game. We cannot concede. We need to build up that strong defense and that momentum going into the tougher games later this season. So 2-0 to Man United. Bruno Fernandes goal and assist, and then Pogba and assist as well, and Greenwood on the scorecard.
Yeah, I see. I don't see them scoring. Jeez, I would say I think 3-0 to Man United. Especially, I think if Varane is, let's see what Varane can do. I'm pretty sure he did fit in nicely there. If that happens, then yeah, definitely, no goal. No goals coming in there.
I'm in agreement with Pumalani here. 2-0 Man United. I think it's going to be nice, comfortable Saturday afternoon for the lads. That's what I think is going to happen there. Wolves versus Spurs. Interesting one there for Nuno.
I think Spurs one. It's 1-1 until the 80th minute or so. They throw in Kane. Kane scores the winner. 2-1 win for Spurs.
Signs a new contract.
I can imagine.
What did Wolves do? Wolves lost their first game 1-0 to Leicester. Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with Nick in terms of the scoreline. A 2-1 to Spurs. I'm not sure about the 80th minute bring on Harry Kane stuff, but they're going to win 2-1.
Bus.
Who's bus now, guys?
Who's going to park the bus? I wonder. I think I. Sure. Yeah, I also see Spurs. Let's say 1-1. I see 1-1 here in this game. I think there's a lot of things happening here. Player playing against his old team. Harry Kane not starting. Wolves playing at home. Yeah, I'd say 1-1. Yeah, it works in my favor as well.
Yeah, and I think also Nuno doesn't want to lose this away game. He's just come off the victory there. Obviously, the confidence will be high, hoping to get the 3 points, but they'll be happy with the points, in my opinion. And I think we've got, Leo is also saying 1-1. Pum's saying a draw. Aljun obviously saying a draw. I'm in that camp, in the draw camp. I'm going to say 1-1 too. And then obviously, gentlemen, for the big game for the weekend, here we go. Arsenal versus Chelsea.
I don't think it's going to be as bad for Arsenal as you might think. I think it will be a 2-1 win for Chelsea. I think Lukaku will get on the score sheet. I think Arsenal will have a period in the game where they get back into it or boss a portion of it. But I think Chelsea will have too much on the day and Ben White won't have enough on the day.
Wonga, don't you want five beanies? Don't you want five beanies? Laugh is still on the table, but when we get to we can think of something. Okay, as you were, Celo.
So I think it's going to be a 1-1 draw. I just feel that Arsenal have a lot to play for. Their pride is at stake in this game. It's their first game at the Emirates. The fans need to just definitely be behind them in this game. It's a London derby as well. So yeah, I think it's going to be a 1-1.
Yeah, now that Celo, oh, that would be nice. Now that Celo mentions it, I think just thinking about it, I think that's one thing Arsenal fans need to do. I've seen in the past when we had matches, I don't think they really support the team other than they just expect them to win. I think that's what you need if the guys are going in there. It would help. Arsenal have great players, but I think they have good young players, but I think in our key areas we're missing like position like centre mid, Xhaka. It's too much. I think there's a liability. There are two centre backs. Okay. People say, but like the way I see it, I think the two centre backs, at the time it looked now, like I think it's a liability that we have there. They maybe need to strengthen their partnership. So I think if I'm realistic, and I've seen Emirates doesn't hold up anything. It doesn't really mean anything to many teams. So I think it's going to be, I would say Chelsea win it 2-0, 3-1. Yeah.
It was a 2-0 3-1. You're saying goal difference of 2, but which one are you saying?
I said 2-0.
I mean, if you're betting, you can't just, you know, you got to
score. Wow, your team doesn't even score a goal.
I said 2-0. Yeah, we don't even have a striker. The kid, the who is that guy? Balogun or something. He's not bad.
Balogun.
Balogun, yeah, he's good. I think he's good potential there, but I don't think he's going to be scoring against an experienced
gents, can you just speak to the fact that we've got two gentlemen over here in the comments saying red card nominations. Xhaka, Ben White, Leno.
Xhaka will be number one. I think even on the
red card. Why do we think there's going to be a red card though?
No, I wouldn't say there's a red card, but if there's anyone who would get a red card, it would be Xhaka.
Yeah.
I'm not hating on him. I'm just telling facts, genuinely.
No, I agree with you. He'll do something. If Arsenal... Okay, so Warren's coming back, I think, to the... Oh, no. No betcha. He's just saying, I think if Arsenal suffer a stupid goal in the first 15 minutes, the floodgates will open. I think it's going to be a routine.
Open wider.
Victory. I don't even think so. I think they'll get their goal. They'll be comfortable. They'll manage the game well. This is Tuchel. This is what they'll do. They'll manage it. I think 2-0 is going to be the result, a fair result. But, yeah, gents, before we go, let's think of a decent bet that Wonga can make. That if he gets it right, and did of course, if Warren's open to it, he can get 5 points from Warren.
He bet against them winning anyway, though.
Wonga. Hey, Warren, yeah, let's say a goal.
What do you think is going to happen?
Back a team, Wonga. At least a draw. When you back a team, at least a draw.
But wait, if he loses, what happens? What does he have to do for Warren?
Send him Warren, or something.
You in the Discord channel, we can discuss it and we can release that on next week's show. Okay. We're going to wrap up. Gentlemen, final thoughts before we go?
Come on, Steve Bruce. Steve Bruce's black and white army.
That's my final thoughts is can't wait for Rafael Varane's debut this weekend. Hopefully he plays. I'm excited for Sunday's game. I'll be watching my two favorite teams play. I'll be watching Man United first and then Kaiser Chiefs after. So excited.
Yeah. Kaiser. I think our international viewers need context for that one. Okay.
for me, I think, I really want Arsenal to win it, especially against Chelsea. I would like to see them. And for me, I'd just like to see, like Celo said, I'd like to see that we actually have some pride in the team, you know. Come there, show us that, you know, not all is lost. And what a game to show it against. They did it last season. I think we won a bad run and they beat Chelsea. Now I think this is the time to do it again. Show us that we're wrong, about what we're seeing. That's all I'd like to see from an Arsenal team. And again, I'll say it and I'll keep on saying it. Take the armband off Aubameyang. Just take it off nicely and give it to Tierney.
But Celo's got it, so I think you guys are right for now. For the time being.
Yeah, no, don't worry. I still got it.
I see. Leo is a selfish man. He doesn't give a shit about any team allegiance. He just wants his fantasy team to do well. He just wants Kane to play. Right, on that note, if you have not joined our Discord channel, do not be afraid. The link is in the comments. If you want to buy a Goal Arms t-shirt, you can get it from the website. Again, the link is in the comments. And that being said, if you don't know what to be, this is the wrong show. I'm going to count down to three. You know how to end the show.
Oh, this guy.
Cloud you out.
Three.
Cloud you out.
Two.
One.
Cloud you out.
Oh, when you're changing it now, that was awful. Is it cloud you out or is it stop it?
Cloud you out.
Three, two, one.
Cloud you out.